Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Hey, everyone. Have you been to the Organic Gardener Podcast website and signed up for our email list? If you go there, you will get my new PDF, 7 Awesome Ways to Find More Time in Your Garden. And it's just some tips that I've learned from listening to my amazing guests who are always sharing with us super effective ways to be a better gardener. So if you head over to the organicgardenerpodcast.com and enter your email, you'll get 7 awesome ways to find more time in your garden. You can also get a copy of our ebook of Organic Gardening Basics. And just all the show notes are there, all the links to our show. So, and I'll be sending out some Golden Seeds newsletters as I get them done. And of course, you'll get a special invitation to join the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook community. Hope to see you there. Okay, so welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast today. I am just super, super excited because I have somebody from the Facebook group here who's been a listener and just somebody I know you're going to love. He has a great gardening story and he gardens and sends pictures and shares them in the Facebook group if you want to see them. He loves peppers just like Mike and I. So from Idaho, Richard Mata, and he's here to tell us about his gardening journey. So Richard, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm totally excited about this. This is pretty awesome. First kind of interview I've ever done on a podcast, so pretty cool. Neat.
How did you learn to garden? Were you, or what was like your very first gardening experience like? Were you a kid? Were you an adult? Who were you with? What'd you grow?
Okay, well, I specifically remember this day. I think I was probably around 7 or 6 years old. I was in my my grandpa and my grandma's yard, and they had a pretty big garden. They had corn growing. They had a lot of corn, really tall, taller than me and my sister, my older sister. And we ended up playing tag or something. Aww. In the corn, and my grandpa came out and said, "Get out of there," you know. But I remember specifically walking through those. So it's almost like a corn maze, you know. And when you're really young, it's really cool because you can't really see anything. It's just the corn, the big docks and everything like that. That was the first experience I had with the garden. And my grandma would pick the tomatoes. They also had tomatoes and grew a lot of tomatoes, and they're fresh right off the vine. And you just bite into a fresh tomato. It's so awesome. So that always stuck with me throughout my years, growing up and stuff like that. But where my mom and my dad, they never had, my dad was in the military. And so we moved around a lot. And we were in mainly apartment buildings and apartments. So we moved to Germany like twice.
Wow.
We moved. Yeah. Yeah. I'm basically an army brat, basically. I was born in North Carolina, but then we moved to Colorado, and then from Colorado, we moved back to North Carolina, and then we went to Germany and we stayed there for about 6 years. And then we moved back to the States, and we lived in Texas and, in El Paso, Texas, and then close to San Antonio, Texas. And then I had one final move that the military would pay for, and so my parents decided to move up here to Idaho. And that's where I'm at right now. That's where I live, so,
Wow, well, that was my question. Like, well, so then were your grandparents, where was that when you were with your grandparents? Were they in North Carolina?
No, they were in, actually, Texas, in San Antonio, and, it was just during the vacation that we had went down there and visited them, and I had stayed there. And yeah, me and my older sister were playing tag in that little cornfield, and it stuck with me. But throughout that whole travel time, I just, we never had a garden. And then I think it was actually right after we moved up here to Idaho, my parents they finally have a big house and some land, and they, you know, they started their own little garden, and I helped them at that. Yeah, I liked that a lot. And then I don't know, a couple of years after that, I went to college for a little while, came back, and I decided, well, you know, as soon as I get my own place, I'm going to start a garden. So I have. So that's what I do now. My off time.
Okay.
Yep.
Awesome. Now, you have kids yourself, right? Or
I'm sorry, say again?
I said, no, you have kids now yourself, right? Or
yes.
Foster kids?
Yes,
or...
I do. I used to live here in Nampa, Idaho, and I met this gorgeous woman, my wife. Well, anyways, I met her and we ended up getting married, and she adopted three little boys from a prior marriage, and we basically they basically just became my boys, you know. So now we're just one big, you know, one big little family here, and we foster as well. We, you know, whenever they need, you know, there's kids out there that need help. So we just foster, and yeah, that's basically it. And, you know, my boys, they love to help, and they help me in the garden a lot. They're always asking, when are we going to go on and the garden, when are we going to weed, when are we going to do this, when are we going to do that? And they love being outside, so, yeah.
How old are they?
They love to help. Well, one is 15, and then the next one is 11, and the other one after that is, he is 8. Yeah, I think he's 8. But
I know. Well, they change fast, and they're always having birthdays, and they grow. I know how that goes. Yeah. I can't keep up with my grandkids at all. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was a great introduction.
Yeah. Cool.
So then how did you learn how to grow organically? Like, did your grandparents grow that way, or did you just kind of pick it up, or is that what your parents did when they started in Idaho, or?
Well, my parents, they just went ahead and gardened like everybody else. I'm pretty sure that they probably did use chemicals, unfortunately, on some of their stuff. But, when I started and I did mine, I basically learned off the internet. I mean, I just typed in stuff, what I needed to know about things, and, you know, I just searched and educated myself, basically. You know, there's a popular saying that I think my wife and my brother-in-law, they say a lot. They say Google is your friend, because all I have to do is look it up, just type in whatever question you got, type it in, do some searching on there, and educate yourself on just about anything you want to know. So, yeah, I learned most of my stuff online. Believe it or not, listening to your podcast and listening to some other podcasts too. Yeah. So, and I only listen to, like, I think maybe 2 podcasts, and yours is one of them. So, yep.
Aww.
And that's basically,
well, I gotta say, that's because of my wonderful guests like you, Richard, who are willing to share their story and teach us their tips. It's true.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, tell us about something that's growing well this year. Like, I know you've posted the pictures of your peppers in the Facebook group. Like, is that what's growing the best this year, or what's growing well?
Actually,
or do you want to talk
about
last year?
Yeah, my tomatoes are doing actually a lot better than even my peppers. Some of my peppers are kind of didn't make it. I have one of my beds. I accidentally left a sprinkler on in the backyard, and I think I drowned like one of my beds, and I'm trying to get them to recover. And I got a few tomato plants in there, and I had pepper plants and stuff like that. But my cherry tomatoes, my Rapunzel tomato plants, those are doing pretty good. I mean, I have them on some trellises, and I can actually already see some ripe ones on there. But they're doing surprisingly well. I thought they weren't going to do very well, but they're doing really good.
So, what do you think the success with those is?
Let me think. I don't know. I made sure that I watered. I'm watering them correctly. Because I noticed that, like, last year I ended up watering too much, and I'd water the whole plant, and they say not to wet the whole plant.
The leaves.
Because the leaves and stuff. And so I've been watering down on the, you know, on the bottom, trying not to get the leaves wet too much. And I've been kind of training them on the trellis a little bit, trying to get them to stay on my little, string trellis that I made. And they seem to be working pretty good. I don't know. Maybe it's just, I don't know. They're just doing really good. Maybe it's the type of the Rapunzel tomatoes. I don't know, but they're doing really cool. And I'm excited for them to come in. You know,
excellent.
Get all my seeds.
Are they in pots or they're in beds?
No, they're in beds. I actually planted three of them right next to each other, and I'm afraid that they're a little bit too close to each other because it's in a bed. You know, so. But I guess it's not too bad. I guess they have enough room, and they're growing pretty good. I have other tomatoes in there too. I have some purple Cherokee tomatoes. They're doing pretty good. Not as good as the other ones, but, you know, I could see some tomatoes forming, and, I'm excited about the tomatoes.
Nice. Yeah, I know. Mike, like, was yelling at me the other day about watering the green beans, and I thought you just couldn't get the water on the leaves on them when it was sunny out, but I guess they don't like water on their leaves at all. Like, you're just always supposed to try to make sure you get the base of that plant, so. And I think tomatoes are the same way.
I didn't even know that until this year. You know, I used to just water everything. I used to just put the sprinkler on and let it go. I didn't even know. I didn't know you weren't supposed to get the leaves wet or anything like that. But, you know, there you go. That's just the learning process of everything. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And see, I always thought we just watered the base of the plants because we just didn't have a lot of water and you wanted to make sure it got down there and you didn't want to get any on the leaves, not to waste it. But the other day he was like, no, don't get any water on there. Even though we have lots of water now, don't be getting their leaves wet. So, yeah, we're always all learning new stuff. So what about, is there something you're excited to try different that either you tried new this year that you've never done before or something you're already excited to try new next year? Like, what are you thinking about?
Next year, I'm excited to try garlic, and I'm pretty sure you're supposed to plant garlic in the fall, right?
Yeah, and you are supposed to plant garlic in the fall.
Yeah, so I'm going to try the garlic this year. I'm excited about that. Also, I'm going to plant here, hopefully tomorrow, I'm going to plant some, turnip seeds, and, I'm going to try some turnips. And, I got some seeds from my mother-in-law. She gave me a bunch of seeds. So one of them was turnips. I was like, what do I do with turnips? What do you do with turnips? I don't even know. I'm not a cook, a hardcore cook. So. Even though I love food, I don't know very many recipes, and with turnips, I don't know any at all. So I looked it up online, and you can make turnip fries and turnip casseroles, I'm like pretty psyched about it now. So I'm gonna go plant some, see if they come in right before fall, and see what I can do with them in the kitchen.
Nice. I love turnips.
Yeah.
Mike doesn't grow turnips because he says that the bugs get them, I think, too bad. He has a hard time getting turnips to grow without them getting eaten. But he's not a big turnip fan like I am either. So, always bugging him. And then the other day he was laughing at me because I thought I bought turnips, but they were turnip salad greens or something. Like you didn't grow the rooty part down the bottom. But yeah. Turnips, to me, I mean, some people think they kind of have a funny taste, but they're kind of like a potato. To me, they're like a cross between a potato and an apple. They kind of have that little bit of really a much sweeter or like a cabbage type of flavor to them. Oh, I don't know. I love turnips. And yeah, you could do a lot of things with them, but I mostly just
Can you do the green salt and pepper? The turnip greens, the tops? Can you cook
whatever,
the tops?
I guess the seeds I bought, that's what they were. They were just the tops, and they bought them. So I don't know if you can eat regular turnip greens, the tops of them. But you can eat the tops of beets, and you can't eat the tops of potatoes, I don't think. I don't know. We'd have to look into that.
Yeah.
But cool, yeah. I think you'll like those.
Yeah. I got beets planned to plant tomorrow too, as well. I don't know if you've seen my Instagram thing. I posted just a little while ago. I posted a picture of all the seeds I'm gonna be planting, a couple of different beets and some lettuce and stuff like that, and maybe some spinach too. So I don't know. We'll see how those go.
Okay, cool. Yeah, Mike was just asking me the other day. He's like, do you think I should put some broccoli in for the fall, like some fresh seeds just from scratch? Do you think we should try that? And I was like, what the heck? What's a pack of seeds? $2? It'll be totally worth it if we get a whole another crop of broccoli. Like pretty much everything we planted this year is going to be like for a fall crop. Like he put the broccoli plants in. They're only like, I don't even think they're a foot high yet. They're pretty tiny compared to like usually about now we'd be harvesting them. But I think it's going to work out better because it's cooler in the fall. So, just that kind of a year this year.
Yeah, I didn't. I planted some other stuff that didn't make it. So that was kind of a bummer, but oh well.
Oh, really? Well, that leads right into my question of tell us about something that didn't work so well this season. So what happened with the stuff that didn't work? Because it got too wet or something? It's been a tricky year because we had that big... cold, wet. First we had the super heat, and then we had a huge cold, wet spell here, and now it's just like, now it's warming up again.
Yeah.
It's been a pretty cool
now
July.
It's all warm again. Yeah. My bell peppers, I'm kind of bummed out about that. They didn't make it. They didn't even, some of them didn't even make it into the ground. I don't know if I overwatered them or if I waited too long. I don't know, but it was a bummer. I only had one, and I was like, okay, little guy, you gotta do it, man. You gotta prove me wrong, you know?
Aww.
So I planted it in the bed next to one of the tomatoes. It never got more than like, I don't know, about 4 inches high, and it didn't do anything. So I was like, oh, poor guy. I put it out in misery.
I think you have to have more than one pepper plant to make pepper. I'm not 100% positive, but I'm pretty sure you have to have more than one pepper plant anyway if it's going to produce fruit they can pollinate each other. Mm-hmm. I think I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Yeah. Probably you're probably right because I think I don't know. I don't know about all the plants, but I know I think an old peach tree that wasn't producing anything in my backyard. And one of my father-in-laws, he said, don't you need another peach tree or another, some type of fruit tree to help pollinate that. And I was like, I have no idea, but, it kind of gave up on me and I had to take that one out too. That was kind of a bummer because I love peaches, but, trees are not my forte. So I don't really know how to, I wish I could have like an orchard of peach trees or even a couple of apple trees would be really cool, but I don't have space for it. So it's going to be all garden for me.
You know, that's so funny that you said that because the other day I was taking pictures down in the garden and I looked at this, I have this one pear tree I sit under all the time that, I mean, I guess they're both kind of little, but it's got the cutest little pears on it. And then this other pear tree that's like 10, 20 feet away from it, I was looking at it and I went to Mike. I was like, has that tree ever produced fruit? And he's like, nope, that's the pollinator tree. And he's like, you have to have two pear trees to pollinate a tree. And that tree is here for pollination. And I had never heard that either. I was just like, last week. We were just down in the garden. And I was like, I never even thought about that or realized it. So, yeah, you probably do need two peach trees to pollinate your peach tree. Who knew? Yeah. I thought they would still at least grow flowers, but they probably just don't produce fruit.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you'll get one of these days.
Yeah.
So, Richard, what's your least favorite activity to do in the garden? Is there something you got to force yourself to get out there and do?
Well, let me see. I love gardening. All of it basically. But I don't know. I call it the three W's: watering, waiting, and weeding. Those three things are like probably my least favorite. The weeding is not so bad now because I looked online and there's this I don't know where I found it, but somebody put newspaper down around their plants in their beds, and then they put compost on top of it, and then they wet it and they basically leave it there, and the weeds don't grow at all. And you keep the soil nice and moist and everything because of the compost and and everything, and so you don't have to water it as much. So I did that in one of my beds just to see, because I didn't want to do it in both my beds because I was afraid it would. I didn't know if it was going to work 100%, and I wanted to see what works better.
Yeah, because you never know. It could create mold. Amazing.
It is so cool that you hardly have to weed at all. You just put the newspaper down and it's like, wow. So it's totally neat. It works. I was like, wow, that's cool. And you don't have to take it out or anything like that, because it just decomposes and it helps the soil. It's really cool. It's a really neat idea. And I think that'll help with the weeding a lot. But the weeding and sometimes the watering, because you kind of just, I don't have it. I want to look into making my own drip system of some sort or something like that, so I don't have to go out there every, and you just kind of stand there, the hose or whatever you're watering it, and you just kind of wait and just, it's like,
I hear you. Sometimes, like, the end of a long day, you're just, it can be like when you only have very limited amount of time, that going out there to water can be just like an extra chore that gets put into your day. That it doesn't seem like it takes long, and a lot of times it's really relaxing, but sometimes it can be like, and the other part that drives me crazy is moving the hose around and like trying to get the hose to go where you want it to go without getting stuck on a rock or a corner and not running over the other plants. Like, you take two steps and all of a sudden, like, there's some little tomato or baby broccoli or something that's getting smashed by the hose, and just I totally feel your pain. Like, it seems like watering should be really easy, and most of the time, lots of times on like a hot sunny day, you're happy to get down there, but sometimes after a long shift or something, or you're just busy and you have things to do, and then you're like, oh, I gotta water, or I forgot. And like for me, there's like days where I won't see the garden for 4 or 5 days. So figuring out some kind of like automated system definitely helps. But then the biggest thing I think you said is that putting that mulch down, putting, either the compost, or Mike uses a lot of straw.
Compost,
I just put straw down the other day.
Straw.
But that newspaper with the compost on top of it's a great idea because, not only does it suppress the weeds, but it holds that moisture in, so you don't have to water as much. And then what's the other W? Yeah. Waiting, like waiting for your produce to get ready?
Oh, yes. Waiting for the harvest.
I love that.
For you to harvest. Right. Oh, my gosh. You want.
Because it takes a long time,
growing,
right?
Growing. Yeah, yeah.
I look at Mike, I'm like, how do you have the patience?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, totally.
On
but
the
then when they're done, you're 34 like,
days, not 38 days. So it's like, I don't know. It's funny though, because I remember what you said. You had a problem with some of your veggies coming in all at once, and you don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. But while you're waiting for that, you want it to hurry up, and you're like, ah, but then whenever it is ready to harvest, you got so much of it, you don't know what the heck to do with it. So it's kind of crazy. Yeah.
You know me so well. It's so true. Like today, I finally got down there and we picked all the cherries, and then I'm sitting here thinking, like, am I ever going to have time to, like, pit these cherries and actually put them into something? Now, I have to say, like, working at this restaurant this summer has really inspired me to cook more and see that it doesn't really actually take as long. But some days, like, I got the cherries picked this morning, and am I going to have a chance to bake them into something between now? Tomorrow, I'm going to be gone all day, like, before Wednesday, maybe. Whoa. I wish I would have picked them on Saturday and took them to work with me yesterday, because I might have could have made them into something at work, but I don't know. But yeah, definitely one of my problems. And then, yeah, everything coming on all at once. So, what's your favorite activity to do in the garden then? Harvesting?
Oh, yes. Harvesting. I think harvesting is probably my most favorite thing to do. And I love to get the boys out there, and they help me out too. And they get so excited. They're like, oh, look, I found another tomato. Oh, there's another pepper. Look at the size of that pepper. Aww. They get excited, and they ask me, is it ready to pick? It's ready. And I'm like, yeah, go for it. So, harvesting is probably my favorite. And I love at the beginning of the season, just getting everything ready, you know, like getting the soil ready, cleaning up, and buying the, you know, if you got to buy fertilizer, or if you got to buy soil or whatever you need to get, like, I don't know, seed packets or whatever. I love it. I love that. You know, it's funny. It's funny. I remember beginning of the year, I don't know where it was at. It was at Home Depot or some store, and they had like a wall of seeds for sale, you know, the packets. And I took a selfie in front of it, and I sent it to my wife. And I'm like, oh boy, it's starting. She just laughed. Yeah, I come home with all these seeds, and there's no way I can plant them all or anything like that, but I guess it's just the hope, you know?
I know. I do that all the time. I always buy way more seeds and way more plants, especially like when the plants are on sale at the end of the year, and you're just like, I need some of these, and let me get some of these, and let me get some of those. And it's just like, then you get home and you're like, where am I going to put all this stuff? One thing I did do this year that I've always struggled with was I didn't plant the whole seed pack on the first day. And that helped me a little bit. Like, I planted a little bit of arugula out of a packet in one bed, and a little bit in a pot, and a little bit in another bed. And then a little bit later, I planted some more and stirred it a little, not a ton, but, that was definitely, a little better than I usually do. So, I know that feeling totally. It's so fun to see all the different seeds. I'm like, oh, I'm going to grow this.
I definitely got to get way better at doing that than anything, because that was, I planted, I had like 25 pepper plants, jalapeno plants, and I gave like, I don't know, 8 of them away. Yeah. Yeah. And see, that's the problem, though. I had so much, and I wanted to plant them all, but then it was still too early to plant them. And then I knew I wanted to get the raised beds going in the garden, but I didn't have any time. My job, I was working a lot and getting off late, and I was exhausted, and my job was very physical. And so, I would come home just exhausted, tired. And the best I could do is just look at my little seedlings and water them and tend to them. That's basically it. And I think I made the mistake of doing that, you know, waiting too long. But I learned my lesson, because this winter I'm going to build more raised beds during the winter, so I'll have them ready for the springtime. And I'll just make sure some people are already getting their tomatoes, and pretty full-sized tomatoes, and I'm like, wow, already getting tomatoes, and mine are still really small. So I'm thinking that I have to plant them even, I have to start them as seeds even earlier. So I don't know. Well, I'll have to look up on that and stuff like that, see what's going on. How soon I'm gonna have
or
to
ask them what they're start doing. Those seedlings. But maybe they're using.
Yeah. What did you say?
I don't know. Maybe they could be like starting them indoors in like a hothouse type of thing, or maybe they're. Yeah. I was just gonna say maybe they're using some kind of fertilizer, like some kind of nasty chemically stuff.
Miracle Grow or something. Miracle Grow? Is that okay? I haven't used any, but I was wondering if it was or not. I wasn't 100% yet, so.
No, and even their stuff that says is organic, Mike won't use at all. Like I don't trust any of their products. So
I think last year I bought.
I still
some
think
fertilizer
the best thing
from I don't know where it was, Home Depot or something like that. It was steer fertilizer, I think. And then I used it,
like steer
and
compost.
Then I found out that I don't know it. Not good to use that stuff, and I was like, oh geez, I didn't even know that. So I was like, oh, okay, well I guess I'll just stay away from that. And that's how I got into composting.
You just got to really carefully research the brand and where it's coming from and make sure that, like, because that was the big thing. Peggy Owsley, she was like one of my very first, like in the top first 10 people I interviewed, she talked about if you use manure that comes from animals that have been eating weed-free hay, like we all think like chemical-free, but weed-free actually means that they've been getting the chemicals to keep the weeds at bay. And so that's why it doesn't have any weeds in it. And so you got to kind of like, that, you know, they're using like kind of a play on words. So, but she said that stuff just wreaks havoc in people's gardens. So I just kind of try to stick to, like, that's been a great thing about working in the restaurant is they've been letting me take all the like scraps home. And so our compost pile has been like filling up and overflowing and turning. We've been getting a lot of compost. I mean, we could never produce enough compost to cover everything Mike grows, but I think that's your best bet if you can use it, like stuff that you know where you're getting your food from, and just throw your food scraps and your eggshells and your coffee grounds and things like that.
Totally agree, man. When I got into composting, I kind of went nuts.
You did?
I don't know why. I think it's so fascinating, so neat that you could just, you could create. I guess it's kind of like planting, you know, your own plants. You can plant something and it grows from this little. It's so awesome that and you have, I don't know, maybe it's a control thing, but you have control over that little plant that grows and gets bigger and bigger, and it produces fruit that you can just take. For me, it's awesome. I don't know why, but it is. And the same with composting. I think that you could just turn all of that garbage, all that leftover stuff, into rich soil and just, you know, use that to grow your plants even bigger and healthier. And it's just, I don't know why. It's just, I think it's an awesome thing. It's especially just, you know, just growing plants is just, it's such a satisfying thing to me. And I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm just going off into a rabbit trail here.
No, I was just thinking, you know, what you're saying kind of makes me think about what might make people, like, it is your successes. Like, if I was more successful probably at gardening and growing things, I would probably do more of that. And, like, one of the reasons I probably like making compost is because it always works for me. Like, it's just been something I've done ever since I was a little kid. My mom's always had compost on the counter and just, I don't know, what I like about, like, it just seems like you can let it sit for 5 days and then just go turn it and... It kind of, sometimes it helps to let it sit more, and you almost like see like a little mold growing in there. It gets a little like a darker color, and then you flip it over, and then the next day it looks great, and you get to mix all those different things together. It just seems like compost is an easy, you know, you can, it's like forgiving. Like, you don't have to worry if you didn't water it right one day, you can water it the next day. It's not like the garden where if you don't water it every couple of days or every single day in the hot of the summer, it's going to die on you. Like, your compost, just for me, it's something I can be successful at. Anyway, it was my point. So I think people probably like things that are, they're successful at. And so you're a pretty successful gardener, even though you had a few struggles this year. I think overall, most of your stuff is super productive. So, cool. What's the best gardening advice you have ever received?
The best gardening advice that I've ever received, I think it's funny, is like, the best advice that I probably received, I didn't listen to. And that would be don't overdo it. Don't plant too much at the beginning of the year, or don't try to grow too much. Yeah, I did it. I did it three years in a row. It's just like, you can't help it, I guess. I don't know. But hopefully next year I will pull in the reins a little bit and be a little bit, a little bit more picky, you know, and try not to overdo it. And I had so many seedlings, you know, just popping up with so many different varieties. And it's funny. It's like, I'm going to plant tomatoes, but you don't realize that there's like a jillion different types of tomatoes. So you're like, oh, that one looks cool.
I know.
That one looks awesome. I'm going to plant some of those, and maybe this. And so before you know it, you got like 10 different varieties of tomatoes, you know, and like 50 seedling trays and stuff like that. It's crazy.
Yeah. Right?
It's addicting.
I totally know. You don't realize how much it's going to expand. I remember Mary St. Jacques saying that. She's like, and make sure the most important thing you do at the end of the year is take a picture so you remember that your squash plants are going to get huge, because you think at the beginning of the year, oh, I have room for this and I have room for that. And the next thing your bed is like overflowing. You don't like leave enough room for where things are going to grow. And I've done that so many times.
Oh,
I planted tons of seedlings. And then Mike's like, where are you going to put all this? but it's always fun to have to dig new beds, right?
Yeah.
And share things.
That's one of the fun
people
things.
Always are like, wow, what? You have a pepper plant to give me? Sure, I'll take that. So
yeah, exactly.
It's all good.
Yeah,
and then
gave, like,
at the worst, it makes good.
Away.
Yeah. And at the worst, it'll make good compost.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's your
favorite tool? I'm sorry. I actually did that. I threw some of the plants that didn't make it into my compost. And then, I don't know, a few weeks later, I think I was turning it over, and I noticed that something was sprouting. I don't know if it was some of the seeds that didn't make it or whatever, but you know that it's good whenever something's growing from it. So, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've seen tons of great volunteers come out of the compost bin.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite tool? Like, if you had to move and could only take one tool with you, what could you not live without?
You know, I thought about this question, and I was like, I don't know. What one tool would I? And I got to say, it probably my broad fork or my pitchfork, which whatever you want to call it. I don't know what the exact name of it is. It's whatever you turn your compost with. And you can actually use that to basically break the ground up whenever you're going to get your beds ready for the next season during the before spring and stuff. I learned that it's better to just stick that in there and just crack the soil, the topsoil, and then put, just crack it a bunch of times and then put fresh compost or soil or whatever amendments you want, and put that in, and then do your planting, not to till it up so much, because it disturbs all the microbes and the worms and all the healthy things that keep your soil nice and rich. So I basically did that this year. I used that. At that time, I didn't have my broad fork or my pitchfork, so I wasn't able to do that, or broad fork. I don't know which one it is, broad fork or pitchfork. But, anyways,
I think a broad fork is like shovel. Really, really big.
Oh, okay.
So it's probably just a regular
so
pitchfork.
I probably have a pitchfork.
A broad fork is like, I think it's almost like a yard across. They're pretty big. I saw one at the seed event we went to, and then I realized I saw one when I was at Mandy Gerth's last summer, but I didn't know what it was at the time.
Yeah.
But.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're super cool. I want to get one of those, but they're pretty expensive.
Yeah.
So it's probably just a regular pitchfork if you're using it in your compost. Also, I think a broad fork would
Yeah.
be a little awkward. Like it's more rectangular shaped, where a pitchfork is kind of have a
Oh,
curved edge, and
yeah. I see what you're
it's
talking
probably only
about.
like a foot wide, as
Yeah.
compared to a broad fork, like I said, is more like 3 feet wide.
Okay.
I'm pretty
Yeah.
sure.
All right.
Yeah. But that's a great tool. I love our pitchfork. I don't know what we'd do without one of those either, for sure.
Yeah, it's either that or
So what is your favorite
maybe
recipe?
just a bait. I'm sorry. I was maybe just a basic hoe, I guess, would be something that I wouldn't want to be without because they're pretty, universal. You can use it to make trenches and stuff like that, or rows and I don't know, weeding and stuff. But yeah, probably just my pitchfork would be the one that I wouldn't want to be without.
I agree. I hardly ever use a hoe. I mean, I don't know. I guess
Really?
Mike does, but just doesn't seem like something I rarely ever. I mean, I know I'm not the biggest gardener in the world, but even when I'm planting my flowers, I don't really use a hoe very often. A rake, like usually, like I'll, turn the dirt over with a shovel and then kind of rake it smooth. But I don't know. I guess a hoes. A lot of people say that, so I'm always surprised. But anyway, how about a favorite recipe? Do you have a favorite recipe you like to cook from the garden?
Not well, I guess would I don't know, making peppercinis what is it, a pickled peppercinis or
Yeah.
whatever. Yeah, banana peppers.
Sure.
Oh man, that I last year I did that and I had like maybe two big mason jars of peppercinis, and one of my sons loves them as much as I do, and we put them on almost everything, salads and tacos and everything. So yeah, I made some for the first time I think last year, and I pickled my own, and it turned out really, it was really good, really awesome. And I like doing that. They tasted really good. What else did it? Let me see. Can't really remember anything else. I mean, basically we just use the tomatoes and everything else that are in my that come out of the garden. Oh, tomatillos. I had like three plants last year, and wow, they really produce. They produced a lot of tomatillos, and we harvested a lot, and I made salsa with that, and oh, it's so good. If you guys ever need some green salsa, just look it up online, look up some good recipes. I usually tend to go to All Recipes. I believe it's called All Recipes online, and it'll have recipes for anything that you basically kind of want. Just put like salsa verde or green salsa or something, and it'll bring it up. And there's a couple of ways to do it. You just mix some jalapenos in there, some onions, and some spices and stuff like that. I think lime juice, lemon juice, something. And then just it turned it tastes really good. It tastes so much more fresher, and when you just make it right there on your kitchen counter instead of going to the store and buying it in a jar. It's awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah, I go to that All Recipes site a lot too. I was just Googling it to make sure that was the same place. Yep, I get their French toast recipe all the time when I'm at work and I have to make French toast for the buffet. Yeah,
Oh
they
yeah,
have
that's
great
cool.
recipes.
Oh yeah,
Yummy homemade
I get most of
salsa.
my recipes from there.
Yeah, that is like, 'cause like th there's three or four websites that always come up when I type in French toast or whatever recipe I'm looking for, but that All Recipes, I like the way they break it down, and I like their like mixture of herbs or spices or whatever they use, or like with the French toast, like the amount of cinnamon and vanilla that they put in it, and just I like their recipes a
Oh
lot. That is a good site.
yeah,
It
that's cool.
seems like you're saying All Recipes, so like people might think like you just mean like a general, but there's actually a website called ALLRECHOW.com. however you spell recipes, allrecipes.com. I go there a lot too.
.com, yeah.
So, and that leads right up to our next question. Is that your favorite internet resource, or do you have a favorite? I know you said Google before, or is there somewhere like that you were thinking about?
Let me see. I think it was internet resource. Probably just, I'm on Facebook a lot, and there's a lot of Facebook groups, and you can get a lot of information from there. I like to go to Fresh Eggs Daily. I guess fresheggsdaily.com. And that's more geared around chickens, because I have chickens too. And I'm always looking up there just to make sure that, make sure I'm taking care of my chickens right and stuff. And I really enjoy my chickens. they give me free eggs. So I'm like, well, free eggs, I guess. You feed them, so. And then they give you free eggs. And the boys, they love to check for the eggs, and they find them. And my chickens are kind of free range. So they lay their eggs in weird places. And, sometimes the boys have to go and look for them, and they love it. Yeah, they will find it underneath some bush.
How many chickens
or
do
some
you
tree.
Have?
And we only have three. Henrietta, Pepper, and I call her Red. There's a Rhode Island Red that we have, but
I call my rooster Red too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I call him Radio Red, but yep.
Oh, really? Yeah.
What kind of chickens are they? What kind of chickens are they?
Do you know?
Are they like Banties? That's the only kind I know anyway, so.
We have one Rhode Island Red, and then the other one is they're black and white. The other two are, I think they're called Rock. I don't know, something with Rock in it, I think. I'm not sure. They're black and white, and one of them's we named her Pepper, and the other one's Henrietta. So they're pretty spoiled. Every time I come to the back door, they come running, and I usually have a slice of bread or something with me, and I kind of crumble it up, and they just go to town on that. But I'm always checking that Fresh Eggs Daily.
That's Lisa Steele.
I'm always
online. Not long ago.
What? I'm sorry.
I said, that's Lisa Steele from Fresh Eggs Daily. I just interviewed her, I don't know, a month or two ago. She is amazing. Yeah. Like, the way she takes care of her chickens and just the tips that she teaches you are just phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm going to put, I just recently found on there that you, if you put a clove of, I think it's garlic, in their water, it helps with their immune system and things like that. So I'm gonna do that, everything like that. She has
natural care trips. She puts like oregano in their like little nest. Like, their chicken house looks cleaner than my regular house on her thing. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, she's really fancy the way she takes care of it. All right, maybe not quite, but pretty, like, it's pretty clean and pretty neat. And she's got like little beds and puts herbs in with their bedding, because I guess like they like the natural smells, and it kind of helps keep it's kind of like a natural
repellent
for them.
It helps keep bugs away and
everything. I don't know, somehow. So the ones that they don't eat, I guess, are the kind that, like, the fleas and things that chickens can get. So yeah, she's just an amazing woman, the content that she puts out and the information that she's been sharing. So I'll have to see about that, putting a clove of garlic in the chicken water to help build their immune system. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I believe so. I think it was to help them with their immune system, or just gives them some sort of vitamins or something.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, that's pretty cool though. Yeah. Chickens are funny though. I whenever the boys go out and they'll find like a whole clutch of eggs or whatever, then we might have missed for a couple a week or two. We'll have to come in and we'll have to check them by putting them in water to see if they float. You know, if they float, they're bad, and you got to throw them away. Yeah. Oh man, have you ever gotten a bad egg before?
Well, we have a pretty big yard, so like if we're even like sketchy about it, we just throw it out in the woods.
I got a bad egg once. I should have done that because I got a bad egg.
And you opened it like in the house?
A bad egg once. Oh, yeah. I was actually making some eggs and I cracked it. I was like, oh, man. And like, holy cow.
No.
The whole house.
They're pretty strong.
So bad. Yeah. But, yeah.
It's cool.
Pretty funny. So always check your eggs, people.
Yeah, I like that tip, though, that all you have to do is put them in water, and the ones that are floating are the ones that are no good. That's good to know.
Correct. Yeah. 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 If they stay on the bottom, and we just use a regular, just a glass cup, and stay on the bottom, they're still good. And if they're kind of like standing up on its, you know, straight up and down, then they're still good. But if they're floating to the top, I would just toss them, you know. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. How about a favorite reading material? Like, is there a book or a magazine or a website that you could recommend that you really like the most? And it could be like the Facebook groups or if there's a book that you really like. Or.
You know what? I hate to admit that I am an internet, you know, I guess a junkie or whatever. Whenever I want to find anything out, I just hit the internet. books and stuff, I don't really, for gardening and stuff, I tend not to read too many books, except for that one that I got from you. I had started reading it, but I'm not completely done with it yet. I do like to read. It's just not the gardening stuff. I usually just find out what I need to know online, so I usually just go on Google or the Facebook groups. So I'll ask questions on there. I actually started my own Facebook group called.
You did?
Yes, I have. I believe it's called the Neighborhood.
I'll have to join it. I'll have to see. You have to send me an invite or something or add me to the group.
Yeah, I could totally do that.
Or is it just for like your like block, like your close neighborhood?
Oh no. It's I didn't put it in the description. Like if you're not from Idaho, it's okay. You can join anyways because we're all neighbors basically. So it's just something that I had started. I initially started it just to. I don't know, just to get people around my area to
like
to
connect
kind of
with other
connect.
People. Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, hey, do you have some of these seeds? Or
yeah, that's a great idea.
You know, we could trade or whatever, and Neighborhood Gardeners of Idaho. That's what I have.
Neighborhood Gardeners
called.
Of Idaho.
I only have 29 members, and I have some of my pictures on
that's
there.
That's a good
some
start.
Of my, yeah, some of my family members' pictures and stuff, and I go in there once in a while to post. It's not very active though. That's why I haven't really been on there recently. But I started that. And mostly I
that stuff all takes a lot of time
podcasts.
Too.
Oh yeah.
Cool. Well, who else's podcast do you listen to? You know, I always like to share other podcasters and spread the love.
They're called Organic Urban Farm and Urban Farm and Garden Show. This is the other podcast that I listen to. The two guys. One of the guys is. His name is Larry, and he's very He's like an ex-science teacher, I believe, but he also does gardening.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, they're very informative, and they work really well together. Their repartee is very, very, very good. And I started watching them the same time I started watching your show, or I'm sorry, not watching, but listening to your show. And they're really good. They gave me lots of information. My niece was actually getting into planting some stuff too, and I was really excited. I was like, oh, she's like, well, what do you recommend? And so I recommended this show and your show. I actually told her to listen to your show too. And so I don't know if she is or she's not, but she's going to be surprised if she hears me on the podcast.
Cute. Aww.
Yeah. So hi, Maya.
How old is she? Aww. Hi, Maya.
She is actually, I believe, 17. She's 17? Or,
nice.
Yeah, 17 or 16. Uh-oh. Bad uncle. Don't know her name.
All right, Maya. You might want to follow me on Snapchat, too.
Yeah, I was actually going to see that.
Cool.
My wife is on Snapchat. She really likes it, but I never really had a reason to join Snapchat. But I think I might actually join just because you're on it now. So, yeah, be pretty interesting.
Yeah, definitely cook up with me on Snapchat. I love Snapchat. Yeah. It's so fun. Yeah. And, like, even if you I love writing on the pictures, so like sometimes I'll like take a picture, write on it, and I don't even send it to Snapchat. I just save it in my thing, and then I'll post it on Facebook or Instagram or somewhere else. Or sometimes, like, the problem with Snapchat is that everything has to be so fast that you'll miss the shot if you're waiting for the Snapchat thing to go. So sometimes, like, I just grab it with my regular photo, and then you can like pretend you're going to send it to somebody in Snapchat, and you can like type on it, and then you can save it, and you can save your story. Like, if you remember to save it within 24 hours, you can save it. It makes like this little mini video. So yeah, there's lots of cool things to do with Snapchat. And then I don't know, my granddaughter, that's like the only way she talks to me anymore. Like, she doesn't text, she doesn't call, she doesn't email. It's just, she'll Snapchat me, and she doesn't even send pictures. She just types text. But one of my stepdaughters is like that too. So yeah, it's fun. I love Snapchat. So I'm like totally addicted to it.
Yeah.
Richard, are you ready for the final question? Sorry.
Oh,
no, go ahead.
I was gonna say maybe you should try to contact these guys from the Urban Farm and Garden Channel and try to get them on. They're really cool. I think they're so full of information, and they're just like, I like their podcast a lot. Same with yours, though. I'm not not saying that I
don't
like yours.
That's okay. There's room for all of us. In a high tide, all ships rise or whatever. So the goal is the more people we can get listening to podcasts, and the more, high quality podcasts we can have out there where people are really learning, it's just going to be better for all of us. I mean, I listen to dozens of podcasts, so there's plenty of room for more than one gardening podcast. So cool. Okay. Yeah. Here we go. Final question. Ready?
All right. Okay.
Richard, if there's one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about, or a project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or on a global scale?
Well, I think mine would be, and there's a lot out there, and I think that, every little, I don't know, like every organization, anything that helps make the world cleaner is obviously good. And I think it's a step in the right direction. For me, though, I feel that it needs to start smaller, as in like everybody in your neighborhood, everybody just locally need to, I would say, just plant something, just even if it's just one or two tomato plants on your back patio, or you know, on your window, I don't know, in a windowsill, or just anything, plant something, and then just, I don't know, let it spread, let everybody feel what it's like to grow something. It's really cool. And then show the next generation that. Show your kids that. Show your neighbor's kids that. Show your, you know, your nieces and your nephews. Even if it doesn't stick with them, even if they just say, yeah, you know, they'll still remember that, and they'll still realize that it's somewhat important, you know, to our society, that we grow our own, you know, fruits and vegetables to, you know, and I mean, yeah, everybody's not going to be able to have like 7 peach trees in the backyard, or, you know, a field full of corn or anything like that. But, you know, it just shows that, you know, you got to know where your food is coming from, you know? And if everybody just starts doing that, I think the demand for it works all around. The demand for some of the foods won't be as much, and the prices will go down in the stores. I don't know. Maybe they'll stop bringing in so much food from the outside and just grow them there at home and locally, you know? So I think just, you know, educating yourselves and the next generation about growing stuff is probably one of the most important things. Not that all the other organizations out there, you know, the people against Monsanto. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People against them, you know, that's still good. You know, they're fighting the good fight, I think. And all the other things, that the wasteful food, and, you know, another big thing is probably the grocery stores are throwing out so much food that people can, you know, that food can be given away to people that need it, or sold at a really low price to people that need it. And just the amount of food that gets thrown away is just it's mind-boggling, I think. Because people, you know, people need this. Some people are starving out there, or just maybe need a little bit of help, and we're just throwing food away. It's just, it's nuts. We got so much of a surplus now in America that we're throwing food away. You know, it's not the Great Depression anymore. You know, the Great Depression, I feel that's why Monsanto was created and all these other things to help boost that production of food to supply for everybody. And now that we're back to a fairly good amount to support America, now it's going overboard. And then Monsanto just keeps going. And I haven't done a lot of research on Monsanto, so I don't know if I don't know the whole thing. But I'm pretty sure, you know, there's scientists that say, well, it's not that bad. It's not going to hurt anybody. You know, it's there just to help production of the plants and the things. And I was like, okay, yeah, but why mess with anything that doesn't need to be messed with anymore? You know, we don't need the mass production of so much food that we're actually throwing it away now. And so why not just go back to the way it was, the way great grandma did it, you know, without the chemicals, you know, without even just composting, do it yourself, you know. I just, yeah, those are my two cents, I guess.
Perfect. I love it.
yeah.
And that's true. We do. Like, I just interviewed this guy, Patrick Mullen from Alfria is this company. And he talked about like the waste in our public schools is up to 40% of the food at school lunches gets thrown away. And the average around the world, I think, or at least the United States, is 30% of the food that we produce is thrown away. I know. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, we have all these hungry kids. And like, I get so frustrated because I work a lot with people who are, you know, on the lower end of the socioeconomic. And I know so many hardworking mm-hmm. parents that struggle to feed their kids and then struggle even more to feed them healthy options because you can, I don't know, just junk food is way cheaper to buy and processed food when you're trying to feed and, you know, come up with calories that are going to keep your kids' bellies full. You know, healthy fruit is very expensive. And, you know, vegetables and just, you know, fresh options compared to like a package of macaroni and cheese. There's just no comparison in the bulk that you're going to get. It might not be the healthy thing, but, you know, it's also not even going to cost a dollar. So I think that's a great answer to that question. That was a great answer. And I think that's so true. And I really love the part that you said about get your kids involved, because even if you do face a little resistance, like overwhelmingly a theme on my show that my guests have said is like they learned because their grandparents taught them or their parents taught them. And that even though they resisted when they were kids, they love it now. So even if your kids or grandkids are resisting, they're going to remember those good times with you. So get them out there and just, you know, be enthusiastic and excited and don't really force them to maybe do too much weeding, but just, you know, while you're down there working, just hang out with them and you'll inspire a little love of growing things that you don't realize. So do you have an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
You know what? It's almost what I said before. Just plant something, you know. A saying or anything. I don't really. Just, you know, just go out and plant something.
That's perfect.
Get your hands exactly what you said. Get your hands in the dirt. You know what I mean? I mean, it's so. I was talking to my brother-in-law about this one time And he said, "Why do you like gardening so much?" And I was like, "Because you get in there and you start planning. Even though you plan all of this stuff for it to happen, you're gonna eventually get your hands dirty, and you're moving the dirt around. You're getting your hands dirty, your dirt under your nails. It's just, I don't know. And then you plant something and you see it grow. It's so rewarding. It's so awesome that I don't know." And he was like, "You know, you found something you really love, because whenever somebody explains to me about dirt that well, you know that they really love to do what they're doing." And, you know, I was like, "Yeah, I guess you're right." And it's just, I don't know. It's just, it's awesome planning stuff, you know. And, just go out and just do it, I guess, you know. Just be patient. Get out there, plant something. Plant flowers. Flowers are awesome. I just recently started planting flowers. I planted some for my wife in some pots and stuff like that, and they came up, and I'm like, "Oh, cool, man," you know. And so it's very rewarding. I think it is. And I don't know, some people, once you get that bug, it's really hard. It's really hard to stop. Next year I'm going to plant this, I'm going to plant that, I'm going to plant this. You know, and it just, just do it. It's just fun. It's just awesome. Yep.
I think that is perfect. And you know what I think? Your enthusiasm is the best part. Just like you can, it's like your brother-in-law said, or that just, you know, you can really tell that you're passionate about it and that you love it, and you're spreading that joy. And I think the others of us are going to be like, "Oh yeah, I got to get down to my garden too," just like Richard. And and I definitely agree with the flower part, because flowers, you don't feel so bad if the flowers go bad, because you got to look at them when they were pretty. And if you didn't pick them and put them in a vase or whatever you're supposed to do, you know, or deadhead them, you know. And I was like, my Snapchat today, I took pictures of a lot of the flowers in our garden. That what I love about them is they're perennials, so they'll come back year after year. You plant them the 1 year and they just keep coming back, and the bees love them. And so if you want something easy that's you know, not as much time intensive flowers are a great way to go. But yeah, tomatoes, you know. I kind of agree with you. It's hard to get carried away. Like my advice is always like, just have one or two cherry tomato plants, you know, because where we live, it's hard to get your tomatoes to turn red on the vine. Yeah. You know that, but it's always fun to plant a few extra things, and some are going to grow and some aren't. And, you know, just like, don't overwhelm yourself too hard, but, you know, put it in the ground and see what happens. And yeah, you'll be excited next year.
That's what I think I'm going to next.
What are you going to do next year?
I was like, well, next year I'm definitely going to probably throw some extra flower seeds out and maybe a couple of plants that bees like too. That's something else I probably should have touched on too, that bees are very important to everything, to all your plants and stuff, because they're the pollinators and everything like that. And I don't know, I always, my wife, not too fond of bees, but I tell her, well, the honeybees, you know, just leave them alone, they'll leave you alone. But yeah, I think bees are pretty important too. And, you know, that's
yeah, it's amazing how many different kinds of bees there are.
Yeah. And see, if everybody just does a little bit, they take the, like when you ask what's one of the important things, one of the most important things to, you know, society and stuff like that, to have a greener world. I think that everybody that's doing whatever they can, it doesn't have to be planting. It can be, I don't know, somebody fighting against Monsanto or all the other, anything, you know, people who are making their own compost, a green compost, you know, organic compost, and selling it. Everybody that's doing that, they're just their little part. If everybody just does anything, because, you know, it's all positive, it's all good, and it's all, you know, carrying forward, you know, to that goal of a greener world and a healthier world, I think. And it doesn't have to really be one thing, I guess, is what I'm saying. As long as everybody is mm-hmm. Doing something, just a little, everything counts, even if it.
Oh, you were talking about Monsanto, and just the one thing that, like, I've been wanting to get Elizabeth Kucinich on, because she works for Rodale's, but she's also a movie producer, and she worked on that movie. She was one of the executive producers for that movie, GMO OMG. And at one point mm-hmm. in that movie, he's talking to this guy, and he's like, they're looking at the cornfields, and he's like, wait a minute, you're saying that cornfield over there is a registered poison, basically? And the guy's like, yep. And so, like, that's what we're eating. Like, it's so covered in toxic chemicals that they're spraying on it that the corn actually is, like, registered with the USDA or something. I'm not quite sure, like, now. Mm-hmm. I've watched that movie several times, because I'm hoping Elizabeth's going to come on. She said she would, and then I have to get back to her. She had, like, an emergency come up. So, but, I'm pretty sure, like they said, that like that's a field of pesticides, like that's labeled somewhere. So, you know, I don't like to put down anybody and say, you know, like I just keep hoping they're going to catch on. Or as Bill McDormand says, don't worry about Monsanto as much as just worry about saving your seeds. If you do nothing else, just save some seeds so we can free the seeds for the people. And just the more seed swaps we do and the more we get our seeds acclimated to our own little neighborhood, so your neighborhood gardening place is a great idea to have people swapping seeds, because that's like one of the big lessons I learned from our podcast. I had no idea that it made a difference if you bought new seeds every year or if you saved your own seeds and grew your own seeds. And apparently that's like a huge thing to get your seeds acclimated to your own climate. And so the more we share seeds and have those little, you know, DNA things going on where they're like, you know, one seed's mixing with another seed and a new plant is formed. You know, that's the best thing we can do. So I love that you were saying just plant anything. If it goes to seed, all the better, because we need those seeds in our environment. And that's the best way we can take back our food system. Richard, you rock. You were such a great guest today. And I know listeners are going to be super inspired to reach into that dirt and get their kids out there learning. And you and your wife are just heroes. I just can't believe how sweet you are just taking in those foster kids and adopting those three kids that, you know, you guys have that are your own. And just, I love seeing your pictures in the Facebook group. And thank you so much for being a listener and sharing your knowledge today. And listeners, I hope you'll connect in both the Organic Gardener Facebook group and in Richard's fancy Idaho. What was it? The Neighborhood Gardeners of Idaho?
Neighbor Idaho Gardeners.
I'll put the link in the show notes. So, and my website is getting, like, right before you, I had a phone call with my website guy. My website is going to, like, this month, it's going to get a total revamp. So if you've been there and been like, there's nothing there I'm interested in, check it out by the end of August. Hopefully it's going to be looking sharp. But I'll have the link to Richard's Facebook group there and the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook group there. And we can all hang out and share our pictures.
Yeah. Cool.
And follow me
on
Snapchat.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. And bye, Maya, if you're listening out there somewhere. And we hope to talk to you one of these days when you get your own garden going.
Yeah.
Thanks, Richard.
That'll be awesome. Thank you for everything.
If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener Podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening. And remember to grow.